Alan, Brian, let's give them some more love. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this is the first of the month, and always on the first of the month, we hear from our spiritual leader, Reverend Ken Gordon from CSL. So here we go.
Reverend Dr. Ken Gordon, Spiritual Leader for Centers for Spiritual Living, coming to you with the November Sunday themes that we're doing. This November, the overall topic is freedom from fear and error thinking. And today's topic is given to us by Dr. Petra Weldes, who's the co-spiritual director of the Dallas Center for Spiritual Living in Dallas, Texas. Her topic is the fruit of good and evil. You know, when we think about the Garden of Eden, which is probably the first thing that comes to people's mind, and we start thinking about it, that really is an analogy or a metaphor for the entranceway into duality for humanity. And, 6,000 years ago when it was first put together, or when the idea, the concept first came in, probably made a lot of sense in that story ideal of how to put it forward. Truth of the matter is, though, is the minute that we decided that there was a good and an evil was the minute that we entered into the concept of duality. Now, I'm not here to tell you there's no such thing as bad or good, but I am here to tell you that it is a personal choice for us to be able to make when we decide to do that. That it is up to us to be able to live our lives in synchronicity with the universe itself and the oneness of life. Dr. Holmes said, in Living Without Fear, man, in an individualized center of God-conscious life, a point in the infinite sea of life, and an intelligent self-knowing point. Humans are the outcome of God's desire to express themselves as individuality. The whole meaning of experience is to promote this individuality and thus to provide a fuller channel for the expression of the supreme spirit of the universe. And that comes from Living Without Fear. He also wrote in Freedom from Stress, when spirit produced an instrument, humans, through which spirit could consciously act, this advent of choice enabled humans to accomplish that which nature had not done specifically. Our power, our energy, and our imagination is God's individualization in us. You know, the conclusion for all of this, for the garden of good and evil, is really quite simple. The choice for us to be able to live our lives in freedom is a choice that we must make. Dr. Holmes said that we are bound because we are first free, and that's exactly the truth. And to be able to step out of that and step back into our freedom, it requires that we balance our life and understand that that dualism that is spoke about in the Garden of Good and Evil is in fact the duality that we live with in life. When we can rise to 30,000 feet and see the world around us in its perfection, at that particular point, what we are is we are authentic and we are actualized. And that's what this journey through life is all about. It's about evolving into the higher consciousness that is the truth of who we are. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you next week.
So I want to start out this morning, the fruit of good and evil. I'm going to start out with Meister Eckhart. And he was a mystic in the between the 1200 and 1300. And so this is what he says. Some people want to see God with their eyes as they see a cow, and to love God as they love their cow. They love their cow for the milk and the cheese and the profit it makes them. This is how it is with people who love God for the sake of outward wealth or inward comfort. They do not rightly love God when they love for their own advantage. Indeed, I tell you the truth, any object you have on your mind, however good, will be a barrier between you and the innermost truth. I refer to this cow opportunity because you see, if the milk curdles or the cheese molds, we think of God has forsaken us, wouldn't we? If we put all of our attention on the cow or thinking that something outside of us, or when we get sick, we think we have been forsaken. And this is a picture of a temporary presence of spirit. The purity of spirit in you is only love. So I liked his idea of likening God to the cow. Because you see, when we really understand, where do we put our attention? Because the fruit of good or evil is a choice that we make, like Dr. Ken said. And understanding that premise of good and evil is part of our choice. And evil is definitely an old biblical term that conjures up, I don't know about if it does it for you, but it certainly does it for me, that there's a devil or there's a power greater out there that's going to jump on us from behind the bushes. A power outside of us, a power that will and can harm us in any moment. Anybody else think that way? Just me. Okay, I'm working on it. So pray for me. Good. So I looked up the word evil and good, and so I had Pam put it up on the screen for me. So evil. The definition of evil is spiteful, vicious, destructive, harmful, offensive, causing harm or injury. We can agree on that. And I like those words better than evil because evil just makes you think something's going to jump out at you, right? Everybody? Good. And good is kind and friendly and genuine and reliable and optimistic. It is loving, it is kind, it is everything that we can imagine. It's all good, it's all God. I'm going to have Pam leave that up for you today because as I speak to you, I'd like you to be looking at that and thinking about those words and thinking about the words that we use and how we use them. So we ask ourselves the question today, who am I? Am I looking to make someone wrong or something wrong? Is that my first idea, my first thought? And am I only seeing what I'm against? Or am I willing? Am I willing to see a world that works for the greater good of all? Right now, I don't know about you, but right now there's a lot happening in our world. And in our world, fear seems to be emphasized, doesn't it? What do we do with that as spiritual beings? And how do we do this when we see things taking place in the outer world that we can't make sense out of? I think there are no accidents that this talk is about good and evil. Because it's so important that we continue to ask ourselves when we hear or we see acts of violence, destructive behavior, that we say, where will I put my attention? What do I wish to see? Yes, my prayers need to go to those places of violence and destructive behavior, but it isn't everybody. What do I wish for civilization must be what I ask myself. What do I wish for all of life, and especially my life and your life and the life of the world? What truth am I willing to know in spite of what's showing up. Whew. What truth am I willing to know beyond this condition, beyond the situation, beyond hurt and harm to humanity? Am I willing to hold the vision of a greater truth? I think those are the questions we need to ask ourselves. I certainly am. And to understand that good and destructive begins first within each one of us. If I'm going to attack out there because I see someone or something being attacked, then I must be the same. See, we were each born with complete freedom, freedom to think as we will, to make choices. And yet, out of that freedom, we have at times placed ourselves in bondage of negative thinking. I don't know, maybe you haven't, but I have. And at times I struggle with it. I question. Because you see, if we ask, how can God allow this to happen, then we've got God being the cow. Not the allness and the isness of that love and light that lives within us. Because that's where God is. That's our divine self. That's the truth. And so we must turn within and say, what is mine to do? What is mine to be? Number one, to bless whatever circumstance, including the person that did the deed, because, oh, how full of destructive and angry and hurt tendencies that person has. Let me see. God, give me the grace to see a world that works for everyone, not just one or two, but for all. Everybody breathe. See, that's our job. First, we've got to feel it within ourselves. Bring that glory back to us. And in spite of the destructive appearances or loss or illness, we must have a greater understanding of truth and find the freedom within ourselves of old patterns, of wanting to blame, of wanting to shame, wanting to push against, and find the power within us of our own divine self. Because right now, I don't know about you, but I need it more than I have ever needed it before. So pray for me. Because you're all doing just fine. I can tell. So that's why we want to come to a community like this, because here we get to see that we love each other, that we're working together. We're working together to build a community that is a place of safety and a place of love. Oh, yeah, we're going to make mistakes every once in a while. Oh, sure, because we're real. Am I going to make mistakes? You bet. Pray for me. See, it is within our own mind that rests the power and complete freedom that not only we want for ourselves, but we want for the rest of the world. Do I hear a yes? Yes. Good. I was hoping so. Because, you know, sometimes I think I'm only talking to me. Our power of complete freedom to change and to choose a better belief is available for us now. And we got to use it. Because there's nothing greater than this time in our lives to make that choice, to take that step into freedom for ourselves and for all of the rest of us. Good and destructive is the duality that we live in, that Dr. Ken talked about. that assists each and every one of us in making a different choice instead of fighting back, instead of telling somebody else that something's wrong with so-and-so or with life or with the other party or this party or that party or a party we refuse to go to. The choice is yours and mine to create a world that works for everyone. We might have differences, of course we're going to. But let's wish each one well, because to live violently or non-violently, to live selfishly or selflessly is the choice we each must make. To live looking at who or what is wrong or who's not measuring up is self-defeating. I think we need to be reminded. I do. I know you don't. So pray for me. Because you see, we can live in such a way that our spiritual awareness grows every time we hear or see of that destructive behavior. And we've got to allow that presence within us to grow greater and to guide us through what is mine to do. And good and more good is available, but first it's within us. And we got to wake it up. We got to wake it up, and we've got to be strong in it, because if we just keep looking at what's out there, we're going to lose a sense of our own divine self. I'm talking to me today. And I like the things that have come to me this week as I prepared for this talk. And Buddha says, everything is in our hands. No fate compels us. No outside power can take from us the responsibility of wise choices. Not hear that. No power can take from us the responsibility of wise choices. If you're writing anything down today, write that. Wise choices. Which is our human heritage. It's what we have within us that we must ask for more of. We can only make the change within ourselves. I know we'd like everybody else to change. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. See, the choice of good and evil is here to awaken each one of us to our own individuality. There's nothing against us. Everything is for us. Everything is pushing against us, so we make that conscious choice as to what we will choose in every moment, in every thought, in every event. The more we are against anything, the more we eat that bitter fruit that they talked about in the Bible, or we think the cow is more important. First, the change we wish to see out there must begin within you and within me. Then we can hold the high watch for all of humanity. Because we know that that's powerful. We prove it here every Sunday when we hold prayer. We hold each other in the blessings that we give each other in the time of need or in the joy and celebration of prosperity. Because we watch this community grow. We watch it expand. And we have to know that that same is possible for humanity, for our brothers and sisters of the world. But first, we must know it for ourselves. And keep remembering, what's my choice? I have choices. And if you're at all in need today, please ask our wonderful practitioners for prayer. If you don't need it, ask them to pray for me, please. I like that. I knew you did too. So let's take it into prayer. knowing and accepting that there is only one life, one power, one all-loving, all-nurturing presence, by whatever name, God, the infinite, the divine, the beloved, the beloved. Ooh, it's the life that lives within each and every one of us, for we are each individually the beloved place where Spirit shows up. And we breathe into that knowingness that no matter what, there's life that lives within us, and it is powerful, and it is healing, and it is revealing this greater truth that we are divine expressions of the one life and the one power, and we get filled up in that. We allow the fullness and the sweetness and the richness of Spirit to just fill us to overflowing, so that when we go out into the world, we go out with love and compassion, gentle, loving kindness. And when that's not possible, we stop in the moment and we remember who we are, the beloved place where Spirit shows up, our divine, magnificent self. Beyond conditions, beyond situations, there is a greater truth, and we know it, we seek it, we study it, we live it, we allow it to have its full flavor within our own being. And then we watch it and admire it in each other. This, greater than what I can speak in words, I know is already taking place in the mind of God. And I praise this. I say thank you. I allow it to unfold in its most magical and mystical of ways. And so I release my word, my powerful word, into that ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes, returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it, and we're proud of it, and we just allow the fullness of God to express through us. And if you're in agreement with anything I've said, please join me in saying, and so it is, so it shall be. Amen.